comes right away and he reveals his presence here and he wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your life this morning. For too long, we've been living with a sense of, well, we tell stories of how he heals people in the book of Acts. We tell stories of how he once healed people in some parts of the world. But we don't expect that that will happen amongst us. Or maybe we have a vague hope that it might happen, but we're just going to leave it at that. We're not going to progress beyond that. But I want to blow that right out of the water this morning because that's not true. Jesus is wanting to heal you this morning. There's no difference today from any other moment in the history of God. I just want to encourage you with some testimonies this morning of how God heals people. This man says, following the death of my father from cancer, I discovered the growth of cancer on my scalp just above my hairline. It was diagnosed as a fast-growing virulent skin cancer, and surgery was scheduled to have it removed. I didn't want it to advance to other parts of my body. I was very concerned about it. It had turned black, and because of its location, I was no longer able to comb my hair or to go to the barber. I was prayed for at my church, and I felt the Lord's presence and peace while the congregation prayed. Later on, while visiting my home cell group, I listened to their guest speaker, Tim Greenwood, present his testimony of healing from terminal heart disease. How many tissue arteries we got in our hearts? Is it four? This guy had two of them clogged at 75%, one totally blocked and one working. And the Lord healed his heart completely before he even had surgery. Since I had surgery planned, I came forward to have him pray that it would go well during the surgery. However, Tim was led by the Holy Spirit to pray, cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I curse you at the very root. I command all blood supply and fluids to be cut off from you. Does it sound familiar? Did Jesus say something like that to a tree once? And what happened to the tree? And that you dry up, wither, and fall off this man's body. Tim instructed me to not keep looking at or feeling my tumor, but rather just to keep praising God for my healing. This is using your shield of faith. I didn't feel anything happen at the time. His wife gave me a tape and Tim's book called Walking in Faith, and I went home and read the book and began listening to the tape, Receive Your Healing Now. It was full of scriptures pertaining to healing. About 3 days later, while washing my hair in the shower, I felt something in my hand. It was a chunk of the tumor. I looked in the mirror and 2/3 of the tumor was gone. I still had the surgery planned, but thought, okay, it may take some cutting, but now it will not take off much of my hair. I was concerned about scarring and permanent loss of my hair since it was right in the front of my head. I was getting ready to go to see my specialist on the day of my surgery. While washing my hair in the shower, I again felt something in my hand. It was the rest of the tumor. It looked as if it had been heated up and melted right there in my hand because it fell on the floor of the shower and was washed down the drain. That's what tumors should be done with. Amen. I got out of the shower and looked in the mirror, and now the tumor was totally gone, and I was ecstatic. Then I got back and took another shower. Always practical. She's a man. Have you ever been head over heels in love and did something silly? That is how I felt. I'm head over heels in love with my Savior and my healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you've got a sentence like that on your life, he says, I went to see my doctor and was told that indeed the cancer was completely gone. Praise God, by his stripes I was healed. Praise the Lord. Isn't that brilliant? Yes. These ones I just got off the Bethel website, just some really interesting testimonies of what God has done. One of the great miracles that Pastor Bill Johnson saw on his trip to Sweden was cancer being healed, and it took place in the street after the meeting because it was time to leave the building where the meetings had been. In the city square, the team had stopped, that the team ministry team accompanied him, and prayed for a gentleman on the street who had an intravenous tube installed. I don't know what that is. He was dying of esophagus cancer. That's this thing you swallow through. He had one more test scheduled before his next set of chemo, and the doctor said, we can give you the chemo, but we can't find the cancer. Such is the power of the testimony that we hear numerous stories of people receiving their healings as they hear of someone else who was miraculously healed of a similar condition. Pastor Bill Johnson quotes this testimony of Jesus. He says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it's from Revelation chapter 19. When you hear what Jesus does, it's a prophecy to you to take the same thing for your life and get healed as well. It reminds us that the root word of the testimony means do it again. So do it again in our bodies, Lord Jesus. 4 months ago, a woman with stage 4 cancer started in her ovaries, had just 4 months to live. She came to Bethel for prayer. Experiencing the operation of the gift of faith, Pastor Kevin Dedman, remember his son Chad was here? Okay, this is the father. Looked at her and said, I don't need to pray for you. The glory of God is all over you. 2 months later, she turned and asked if he recognized her. The previous time, she'd had no hair because of the treatment she was undergoing. This time, she had hair and the testimony that the doctors had retested her and found zero cancer in her body. 2 weeks ago in Washington, Pastor Kevin asked a room full of 600 people if anyone had cancer. Only one person responded, a lady with breast cancer that had spread to her neck and to her thyroid gland. He shared the testimony of the other woman who was healed of cancer. Knowing that God wanted to heal, he released the testimony and the presence of God came on her in prayer. She was retested afterwards and she was found to be completely cancer-free as well. When Pastor Kevin shared these testimonies with some of the students in the Bible school, one girl said, my best friend has ovarian cancer. He and the other students laid hands on the student in her friend's place and shared the testimony over the phone with her friend. Now the friend is totally healed as well. Now it doesn't all happen in Bethel. This is done in La Paz in Mexico. Ceci Billet sent this testimony where she works with Dennis and Anita Flom. 2 weeks ago, Dennis, Anita, and I had the opportunity to pray for a little boy who had a rapidly growing cancerous cyst in his neck. The sweet, precious little boy could not even move his neck when we were praying for him. And he was very stiff all over. His mum was very emotional and concerned. We felt while praying that this young one had a righty calling on his life, so we began to call that forth. In other words, they said, we call forth what God has promised over your life. We also noticed that he started to become aware of something. We asked him what he saw, and he responded, I see angels. By the time we were done praying, he could move his neck and was able to move some more. The next week, his mom called to tell us that he was completely healed, and the doctor said, suddenly they changed his mind and said, this isn't cancer, this is just an infection he had. The mom also told us a friend came to visit her the night we prayed, and her son told her friend, the doctor said I have cancer, but it's a lie because Jesus healed me. What you believe is what you've got. Seriously, what you believe. Do you know where the biggest battle for healing is in our lives? It's right there. It's getting the revelation in our mind that Jesus heals our diseases. That is the major battle. That Jesus provides our financial needs. That Jesus breaks every curse. That Jesus destroys bondages and sets us totally free. I want to convince you this morning that God planned for you to not have a disease or an illness of any kind. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created totally disease-free. There was no disease that we read of in heaven, and they were completely free of all sickness. But when sin entered through their disobedience, so did disease. It was the first time that disease ever entered this world. It's not God's will to inflict disease on anybody, but there are consequences to what we do. And so, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, the consequence was that they came into the world disease, but God didn't send disease. It's not as if God sends disease on anybody. And you know, I really want to tell you, there is no record in Scripture that God wants to inflict anybody with a disease in order to make them love Him more. It's a lie and it is not true. And I also want to put to bed the lie that God sends disease on some people's bodies because they're going to pay for the sin of the nation, and somehow through their disease and suffering, the kingdom of God will be extended in this nation. And that is a lie, because the kingdom of God is only extended through the healing power of Jesus at work in somebody's body, not through disease, which did not come from God. It came from the enemy who Adam and Eve allowed into the world. When God led Israel out of Egypt, We read in the scriptures that they were totally healthy and remained that way throughout the whole journey through the wilderness. Their shoes never wore out, their clothes didn't wear out, and they remained in health. People died because, again, they disobeyed God, and there were consequences to that. But as they left Egypt, they left in complete health. And I want to read you some more of this. I've just done a teaching on Friday night in the group here on the law and why the law was given, which is the law, the Mosaic law, or the law that the Jewish people who are not born again and follow Jesus have to follow. And so I want to focus on that again. And I want to ask you to turn with me this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 5, please. There's some spare Bibles on the table there at the back. If you don't have one, you can go get one, because it really helps. If you get the truth in, I want you healed. If you get it through your eyes and you get it through your ears, it's going to help you. That's Deuteronomy chapter 5. Turn with me, please, to verse 29. This is God's word when he gave the Ten Commandments. In verse 29, God said, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me." Now, this isn't fear as in dread. This is fear as in respect. It's different. It's translated as fear. God says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me, that their hearts would turn to respect me, and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." So there's in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, it was never God's intention for men and women who belong to him to walk in disease. He said, "I want them to walk in wholeness, and I've provided a way for them to walk in wholeness. If they obey me, they can walk in health, they can walk in wholeness and live out their lives, and their children will benefit as well. It would go well with them and their children forever." Have a look with me at verse 32 of the same chapter. "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." So God says, if you are careful to do what I ask you to do, what I commanded you to do, if you don't turn aside to the right or to the left, if you walk in every way that I command you to do today, you will live and prosper, and I will prolong your days. I will prolong your days. Just say, God wants to prolong my days. God has not planned for me to die young. Amen. He wants to prolong your days in complete health right up to the end when he decides you're coming home and not a minute sooner. Okay. Now, I want to tell you something really interesting, because when I did this teaching on Friday, I told the guys two things. I said the law was given, firstly, to show us what sin was, and secondly, to show us that we needed a Savior, because we couldn't possibly live out the stringent requirement of the law. But I discovered the third thing this morning. The Lord gave the law so that we could remain healthy and live full, prosperous lives. Whoa! But the more comes, it gets better. Just believe me, it gets better than this. Listen to this. God wanted to bless Israel. He wanted Israel to be filled with every bit of goodness. And so he gave them 10 commandments. And he said, if you follow these, if you listen to these all the days of your life, you will prosper. Your life will go well. It wasn't a do not situation. It was, so that you can prosper, I'm going to give you these 10 commandments. Then it will go well with you, and you will live a long time on this earth. Move with me, please, in Deuteronomy to Deuteronomy 28, and you probably know this quite well, but this is just to see what happens, and I'm going to probably paraphrase a bit of this. In Deuteronomy 28, the Lord said to Israel, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country." That means Mark will be blessed when he goes home and blessed when he comes into town as well. "The fruit of your womb," that's because Mark lives in the country. just about. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That was actually your grocery cupboard will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Whoa! Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the peoples on earth will see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you as in respect. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. I could use some of that. I really could use some of this abundant prosperity. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. I need to see this happen. In the fruit of your womb, we don't want any more children. You guys can have them. You guys can have them. Whoa, sorry, Lord. Sarah and Abraham. My word. Sorry, darling. Just me, not you. Okay, where was I? I lost my place. Give me the verse, somebody. 11. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. In the land He swore to your forefathers to give you, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty, to send you rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. God plans this for those who walk in all His ways and choose to obey Him. You will lend to many nations, but you will have to borrow from nobody. Hallelujah. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, then you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Who wants to be at the top? Who wants to live at the top? Yeah, it's kind of better up there. It's dark down the other end. The top's the place where we want to be, Lord. So there it is. Do not turn aside from the commands I give you today, left or right, and all these things will be yours. So you see why the law was given, was also given to prosper them. There was a way that they could be prospered in health and in wealth and in every way in addition to the other things. Now, the other side, which, sorry, I got to read this, but if you disobey the Lord, then it's simply this, verse 16, you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. I don't think I want to read the rest. But seriously, it's just to bring a balance to understand we can avoid all that. And there's one simple way, obey God. Do whatever He says. You know, recently, did I tell you, I was down in, when I went for that time in Ashburnham, and I saw, I went for a walk in the country, and I came to a little tiny, it wasn't even a village, it was four houses, less than a village, hamlet. And there was a church with a churchyard, and I like to walk around ancient churchyards. I just like to read the tombstones and see if you pick up some history of the place. And I saw one tombstone, and I thought, this is fascinating. I went over and looked, and there was this amazing statement written on this tombstone of this man. And he died 200 years ago. And it said, the word over his life was John chapter 2, verse 5. Do whatever he tells you. It's the word the Lord's mother said when at the wedding in Cana in Galilee. When he had turned water into wine, she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. This man's life had been lived with that as the statement over his life. I'll do whatever he tells me. And I suddenly realized through the centuries, God has kept alive a remnant of people who will do whatever he tells them. It's actually an amazing thought that people through the centuries have been obedient to God. And we are the beneficiaries of probably that man who obeyed God, and I have no idea what his life was about. But you see what this is. If we obey him, blessing abounds in our life just by obeying Him. Now, this is before Jesus even came. We understand then the Ten Commandments were given to keep them well and to keep them prosperous. That's why God gave the law to the church. Now, Jesus enters the scene. And I want to talk about this now. I'm going to read you from the Message, and I'm going to read you from Mark. Now, turn in your own Bible as well, please, because Mark chapter 11, because it will help you. Just this might sound like a bit of a bit different in some ways. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 23. Okay, this is a whole interesting discourse. It's really interesting because I actually want to go a little further back, and I want to go to verse 19. But before I do that, I just want to tell you one thing that's really interesting. The disciples had been walking with Jesus into Jerusalem to go to the temple. And on the way, Jesus saw a fig tree and he thought, I feel like some figs. And he walked over to see if there were some figs to eat, and there were no figs on the fig tree. And what he did, he cursed the fig tree. He says, "You will never produce fruit ever again." So Jesus did that just a little earlier. In fact, if you go to verse 12, it says, Jesus was hungry after they had left Bethany on the following day. He noticed a little way off a fig tree that had leaf, that was in leaf, and so went to see if it was bearing any fruit, but he found nothing but leaves. When he came to the tree, it was not the season for figs. The disciples overheard Jesus say to the tree, "No one will ever eat fruit from you ever again." Wow, he was hungry. And now we go to verse 19. In the evening, Jesus and his disciples left the city. The following morning, as they were returning to the city, they saw that the fig tree Jesus had cursed has shriveled from the roots. What happened to that guy's cancer, his tumor on his head? Shriveled from the roots. Amen. Remembering that Jesus had done, Peter said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed, it has withered." Jesus answered, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone speaks to a mountain by saying, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' the mountain will be moved for him so long as he does not doubt in his heart, but truly believes that what he says must happen." What did I say? Where did I say healing must take place? Jesus says, if you do not doubt, you can say to this disease, which is the mountain in your life, "Go, be cast into the sea." And if you don't doubt, it must move. Wow. What power your words have. Okay, I sort of carry on from there. Verse 23. I've just finished. If anyone speaks his mind by saying, "Go, throw yourself in the sea," and the mountain will be moved for him as long as he does not doubt in his heart, but truly believes that what he says must happen. Verse 24. So I tell you, no matter what you ask in prayer, believe it is yours already, and it will be yours. Believe it's yours already. When you ask for it, don't ask hoping if God's in a good mood, he might give it to you. Or if you've been a good enough boy, you might deserve it. He says, "I want to give it to you. I want to give you whatever you believe I can tell you." Verse 25. No, I'm going to stop there. So when you ask for anything in prayer, believe that it is yours, and it will be, and you will have whatever God has promised you. Praise the Lord. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 11, please. Who could tell I just lost my way? I just lost my way. But I found it again. Ha ha, hallelujah. Okay, that's Matthew chapter 11. No, I'm certainly losing my way here. This is so frustrating. When you write notes, you check the scriptures. They really are absolutely right. And when you get there, it doesn't say the same thing. I don't believe it. It so frustrates me. Honestly, it is absolutely frustrating. Matthew 4. You're so right. Yes, more. Matthew 4:23. Thank you, Mark. Bless you. Okay, we're there. Thanks, Mark. Save the day. Jesus then went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues there, preaching the good news about God's kingdom. And this is the key. He healed people from every disease and sickness. So the news of what he had done was doing spread all over Syria as well. As a result, people were brought to him suffering from various diseases, often in severe pain. Some were demon-possessed, others suffered from seizures or were paralyzed, and he healed them all. Large crowds came out not only from Galilee, but from the 10 towns on the far side of the lake, from Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan. They followed him wherever he went. The key that I wanted to really help you understand, Jesus healed all the diseases. What do we see in the Old Testament? God provided all a way for all disease to be healed, for sickness to be dealt with through obedience. What does he do in the New Testament? He sends his son Jesus. And the son Jesus walks around all over the Middle East, Israel, and he heals people of every disease, seizures. Every single disease was brought. He healed them and set them free of their disease. It was the heart of God that man should not suffer in any illness. What did he do? He preached the good news. What was the good news? The good news is the kingdom has come, and no longer are you subject to the old order. Healing is now possible in your body and in your life. Provision and every curse ended in your life because of what Jesus has come to do. Wow, this is frightening. I'm going to tell you to go to Matthew chapter 8, and I really pray it's right. Matthew chapter 8, please. And verse 16. Okay. In the evening, many people possessed by demonic powers were brought to Jesus. He needed to speak only a word of command, and the evil spirits were cast out of them. And he healed all who were sick. This fulfilled what God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and diseases upon himself. So God spoke through a prophet 430 years before Jesus came on the earth. And he spoke through this prophet, and he said, a man will come on the earth, and by the wounds that would be inflicted on his body, he will heal every one of your diseases. Every single disease will be healed through what he will go through. Now, it's really interesting. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Wow, I know that's right. That so frustrates me. Okay, here we go. Go to verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53. If you got it, give you a moment to get there. Okay, chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. By the wounds that were inflicted on his body, we are healed. Praise God. What an incredible promise from God. I want to just unpack that a little bit for you. I'm not clever. I can't speak Hebrew or Greek, but I've got books that can do that and give you interpretations of these things. So let's have a look and see. Right to the beginning, what's it mean where he took up? I looked up the word. What does took up mean? And what is the Hebrew word for took up? Because remember, this was translated out of the Hebrew. And took up in the Hebrew is translated as the word N-A-S-A, Nasa, I suppose. And that word simply means to receive or to wear or to carry or to take away. It's all those words. So I nasa'd this jumper this morning and carried away from my house. And it says, he wore or took away from you all your diseases. He carried away all your diseases. Okay, let's look at the next word there. The infirm, for what is our infirmities? In this sense, I looked at what infirmities is translated as the Hebrew word C-H-O-L-O-Y. And it simply means this, all diseases and all anxieties. So he wore or carried away all your diseases and your anxieties have been removed. He took them away from you so that you didn't have to have them anymore. He took them away from you and set you free. Let's have a look at some more. The next verse, later in the next verse it says there, I'm just reading the rest of it. Sorry, I really managed to do this. Okay. The second part of the verse says, he carried our sorrows. And look up sorrows. And sorrows is translated as a word called M-A-H-O-B. And in that it's written as griefs, afflictions, and pains. He has carried away your griefs, your afflictions, and your pains. Has anybody got pain in their body here this morning right now? Anybody got any pain? He carried away your pain. He says he took your pain away. And he has set you free from pain. He took it out of you. And he said that pain has no right to be here anymore. He carried your pain. He wore it as a garment in taking it away from you. He took your pain away. And this is how real this is. It's absolutely amazing. So your sorrows, he bore them. He took them away from you. Okay. Verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. What are the transgressions? Again, looking at the translation, it means our brokenness. Whatever removed us from the wholeness that God intended us, he has taken away your brokenness. Whatever is broken in your life, whatever is out of order in your life, whatever is out of order in your mind or in your body, he has taken away as a garment is worn by someone else and removed from your life. He has also destroyed poverty from your life in the same way. Okay, isn't this fantastic? The punishment that brought us peace, the Hebrew word for peace, you know, is shalom. And the shalom, again, is translated as wholeness, completeness, prosperity, and nothing lacking. So the punishment that brought us wholeness, completeness, and prosperity with nothing lacking was upon him. He was punished that you would have wholeness, completeness, nothing lacking in your body and in your life. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible revelation. And by his wounds, we are healed. And the Hebrew word for healed is one of God's names, Rapha. And one of God's names is Jehovah Rapha. And Rapha means healed. It means all disease is removed. And by this, you have been set free. God's name says, his name says, I make you whole. God's name is Jehovah Rapha. I make you whole. You are healed and set free from all diseases. Okay. Have a look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 9. And have a look with me, please, at verse 18. While he was speaking, a ruler of the synagogue came and knelt before Jesus. Now, bear in mind, this is a Jewish man, a ruler in the synagogue. And he comes and he says, my daughter has just died. How incredible. His daughter's just died. And instead of staying there and mourning, he leaves her and he goes off and he comes and finds Jesus. But if you come and place your hand on her, she will live again. You see, that is faith statement. If you put your hand on her, she's going to live again. I know that she's died, she's at home, and everybody's mourning back there, but if you come and just put your hand on her, she's going to get well. And that's the simple statement that Jesus makes. Now, on the way, they passed the woman of the air with issue of blood, and we get down to verse 23. When Jesus arrived at the ruler's house, the flute players and the noisy crowd of mourners had already gathered. Why were they there? Well, in this culture, in this time, when somebody died and you had some means, you paid flute players and you paid people to come and mourn. And they would stand and wail loudly, and they would shriek, and they would look desperately upset. And it was all part of the deal to show how much you loved the person that died, that you hired good mourners to come and make the noise. So they already got well and truly into it with their mourning at the ruler's house. When Jesus arrives, he said, out of the house, he commanded them. I mean, these guys were here for money. They were being paid to be there. So they weren't really thrilled. The girl is only sleeping. She's not dead. But they laughed at him. Of course, they had to, because they wanted to make sure they got the money they were going to get for doing this. Once the crowd was outside, Jesus went into where the girl lay, took hold of her hand, and she stood up. Jesus heals your diseases. When he hung on the cross at Calvary, he was paying the price of your disease. He was paying the price. He was wearing at that moment your grief, your disease, your lack of wholeness in your body or in your life was being worn by Jesus at that moment. And you were being set free from the curse of disease that came through Adam and Eve's disobedience. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus wants us healed. Now, can I say something to you? And just kind of listen to this. We're living in a time where we're seeing this church going on as it is, it grows, and we don't see healing to the extent that we should, because if we believe God's word, then we should see what God promises in the church. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you will have power when my spirit comes in you to be my witnesses. I wanted to do one thing this morning, and that was convince everybody in this room that God's plan is for you to be healed. Forget the church and its failure to fulfill that. The plan of God was never for you to walk with a disease. Was never his plan. Never was. He's always provided the way. First through the law and then through his own son. He's always provided the way for you to be healed. It's always there. It's never not been there. You know, even if people don't see healing, it doesn't mean that Jesus is not good or not faithful to his word. We were reminded this morning, Dot and I, we were talking about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Those three Hebrew guys who were in captivity in Babylon, and they were commanded to bow and worship this image 70 or 90 feet high that had been made by the king. And every time they heard a flute or a zither, and I'm not sure what a zither is, played, they were to bow down and worship this golden image. And they said, we can't worship that because the law says, the Ten Commandments say, worship the Lord your God only. Do not worship anything created by the hands of man. And so what they did is they said, we can't worship that. We can only worship our God. And so it's the penalty for people who didn't bow down and worship is they were thrown into the furnace and destroyed completely. And they said, we will not worship your thing. And he said, then I'm going to throw in my furnace. They said, our God will save us. And then the king said to them, these three guys, but what if your God does not save you? This you can read, by the way, in Daniel chapter 3. And they said simply this, O king, even if our God does not save us, we will not bow down to your idol. Even if you don't see right now what God has promised, make the decision, we will not bow down to the idol of unbelief. We will not bow down to anything that calls God unfaithful and say, God is not faithful to his word. And so right now we have to make that choice, we have to make that decision. I have got to believe that Jesus wants me healed. I have got to believe this. Now, can I say to you, you are sick and tired of not seeing healings. I'm sick and tired of not seeing healings. Does that mean I'm going to give up and go do something else? No. I won't call God a liar. What I want to say to you and the challenge I want to put to you, if you're frustrated, then let's do something about it. Why don't we do something about it instead of backing off, which is exactly what the enemy wants. Back off because nothing's really happening. So let's not bother because it doesn't really happen. Or should we perhaps say, well, even if he doesn't, we won't bow to the idol of unbelief. We will keep going forward. You know, I was reminded by Dot yesterday of John Wimber. And they took the same position. They said, God heals diseases. And they saw nothing healed. For a year, every single person they prayed for didn't get healed. Not one of them. In fact, they caught some of the diseases, the people they went to pray for. But they did not stop because they said, God said it. And when God says it, it's going to happen. And after 1 year, they prayed for some woman who was sick in bed. And as they turned away thinking, well, again, nothing's happening, but we prayed. They heard her get out of bed. And she was healed. And that started the process, a season of healings which went on for years that came out of that man's ministry. God is looking for men and women who choose this morning to believe God. Say, he is faithful. His faithfulness is not dependent on my experience. His faithfulness is dependent on his word and what I believe. And I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. We've got people in this church right now who are massively in need of healing in their bodies. They're people who have had bad diagnoses over their lives, life-threatening diagnoses. I'm not going to give up for them. I will push the last ounce of blood in my body, but I will push. I will take hold of Jesus. And I'm going to say now, from this day, we will preach on healing every day in this church. This church will come together and we will preach. You guys need to listen. We're going to preach on healing. We're going to look at healing. We're going to convince ourselves that God wants to heal every disease in this place. That every single broken life is going to be set free in this place. That every person who is caught in the grips of Satan's lies is going to come free in this church. Because Jesus said it, we're going to do it. And I'm not going to stop. And I don't care whether you can say or can't see angels or can't see angels. I really don't mind whether you can or can't. But I want to see the result. Don't tell me you see angels. Show me what the angels are doing. Okay, I don't want to say, see big angel. Show me what he's doing. I want to see the power of God here. Because that's what we're here for. We're not here for anything else. We're not here to play church. This is boring. I want to see the power of God working, not because I want a manifestation. I want to see this man healed. I want to see this woman healed. I want to see Petula healed. I want to see you healed. I want to see healing in your body. I want to see your poverty end. I want to see your debt broken. I want to see the power of God setting you free. I want to see people living in all the promises of God. That's what we're here for. And I don't mind what it takes, how much energy. It's not that we need to pray more. We need to push in whatever way we need to push. But the first place we need to start is to say, I'm done with quitting. I'm done with backing off. I'm done with saying, well, it didn't really work, so I'm not really going to bother anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be frightened of praying for sick people anymore. Because I'm going to believe Jesus. And I want you to start stopping being afraid to pray for sick people. And then look them in the eye and say, so how are you feeling? And just hope, he says, just a little better. And if he doesn't, you say, oh, I'm so discouraged. I don't think I'll ever do that again. No, I will say, Christine, I just prayed. Will you pray now, please? Somebody's going to have the faith to heal this man. Sorry, I'm pointing at you, Michael. You're as healthy as they are. But the point is, I don't care who does it. I don't care who prays, but let's see healing starting to take place in this place. Let's see healing here. Let's see people set free here. Let's not guard our position or who we think we are or what people might think about us or not. Let's see God's promise revealed here in this place now. Do you believe this? Do you believe God wants people to be healed? Do you believe this? If you believe it, you've got to do something about it with me. We've got to get up and do something. We can't stay the way we've been. I'm bored with the whole place. You're bored. I can see it in your faces. Let's do the real stuff. I don't care what it takes. And I'm not saying right now we're going to have all-night prayer meetings or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's start believing God. Let's refuse to believe anything short of God's truth. And this man needs healing. And I hate it. I get so angry at this disease that is taking hold of his body. And I am determined this disease is going to get out of his body. And I said to him yesterday, I said, if we can't do it, I'll find the money and I'll take you to Bethel on a plane, but we're going to see you healed. I'm not going to let this man walk around with this disease because that is not God's plan. Jesus is affronted by that disease and we will not allow it in his body. God is so blessed when we just believe him. Just believe him. I just choose to believe you, Jesus. And because I believe you, I must do something different from what I was doing before. I'm going to have to pray for people. I'm going to have to lay hands on people and say to you, be healed with everything within me. Remember I said to you last week, it's not speaking in the name of Jesus like a magic word out of Harry Potter that'll try, something might happen if I say the magic words. It's believing what those words mean. That's what shifts the disease. It's truly believing what I'm saying rather than saying words. There's not one person in this room that God has not called to heal the sick. There's not one person in this room that God does not plan to heal. By His wounds, you are healed. Jehovah Rapha is your healer. And we're not going to stop. We can't stop. We will show in this city, in this square mile if we have to, that Jesus is Lord. And that what He says is truth. And I don't care about the Freemason symbols on the walls or anything else. I do care about Jesus. And what Jesus says, we're going to do here. We've got to do it. We've got to. We don't have any choices now. We can't go back. So when you come to these guys who need healing in their bodies, I want you to be real with them. I want you to pray out of the faith you've got. I want you to say, Jesus heals your diseases. And if they say, I don't feel any better, say, that's okay. I'm going to call Key to come and pray for you now. Or I'll come and call Mark, or I'll come and call Helen, or anybody else, Johan, to come and pray. But we will not give up until we see healing in this place. You up for it? Please. This is so serious. I am so convinced that God wants to do this. I'm absolutely convinced. He wants to heal every single person in this room. He wants to destroy every person's fear of healing the sick in this room. He wants to declare His healing power in every life in this room. And we will pray over and over and over and over and over. We'll lay hands on them. We will study it. We will understand it. We will get up and we'll proclaim it until it's becoming reality here. And I don't want to wait a year. But I'm not going to stop praying. I want to say from this day, if you're sick, you have to call me. You have to, because the Bible says, if any one of you are sick, in James, let him send for the elders, and they will anoint him, and the prayer prayed in faith will make them well. Well, then you call me. I'm not too busy to be called. That's my job. Call me. I want you to come and pray for me. I want you to come pray for me on Sunday. Come here and say, come and pray for me. I want to be healed. Anoint me. I want to be healed. I don't want to walk around with disease anymore. Okay? So, is anybody in any doubt in their mind here that Jesus wants to heal you? Do you believe that He does? Do you believe that God always planned for us to be healed? Did God plan for you to be healed? Yes. Then we will be healed. And you will see healing in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We commit ourselves to obeying your Son. We commit ourselves to walking in your ways. We commit ourselves to saying your word is truth. We commit ourselves to that this morning. We choose to believe you this morning, Jesus. And we take upon ourselves the corporate responsibility of every person in this place. They are all our responsibility. I can't ignore my brother's need, and I can't ignore my sister's need. Her need has to have some impact on my life. We're the family of God. So, Father, we stand before you. We stand in the face of your enemies out there. And we declare we will believe. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to serve the idol of unbelief. We're going to serve the idol of fear. We're not going to serve the idol of disease. We will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Can you stand with me? No, don't stand automatically, please. I want you to stand as a sign of your commitment to what Jesus is calling us to. I stand for healing. I stand for the power of God being released in this place. I stand for my ability to heal the sick. I stand because I'm in agreement that Jesus plans for me to not be sick any longer, and he plans for me to heal the sick. If you feel that's in your heart, then please stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we stand before you now. These are your people. This is your church, Jesus. You said you'd build it. It's got nothing to do with us. We just work here. But we stand in your presence now. We ask you, my God, to look upon our hearts. Look upon our lives. Look upon the depth, the commitment in our hearts right now at this moment. And I ask you to seal up in heaven this moment. I ask you to seal it, to own this moment in heaven. From this day forwards, we will obey you, Jesus. Father, we will walk in your way. Father, we won't give up. We won't bow to the idol of unbelief just because we didn't see anything happen. But we will believe you. We will believe you, Jesus. We say to you this morning, let God be true and every man a liar, but I will not call you a liar, Father. I declare that in Jesus' name. And I praise you for your best plan for each one of our lives. Here we are, Father, at your standing before you. We make this declaration. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.